Hello.
Hey.
Hi, man. How you doing, brother?
Good man, can you hear me all right?
I can. Can you hear me all right?
You're a little bit quiet. I'm just trying to turn you up a bit.
I mean, should I scream into the mic? Pop my
Yeah, that
lungs?
would be good.
No, thanks so much for coming on. Really quick, let me do my quick little spiel I gotta do.
Sure.
You guys are listening to the Nicholas Paul Arnold Hour. And I am joined today by Jack Bratt. How you doing today, brother?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
No, I appreciate it. You're I know Bogue, like I said before, and I heard you're playing on some of his posts, and I thought you were a great player. And I
Oh,
saw
thank
that
you.
you were, yeah, I saw that you were doing some that you had that you're are going to release like like a solo album or something. So I wanted to talk about that. You're a good player, and so I figured it's worth chatting with.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but having said that, if you want to tell explain anyone what you're doing right now or what you got going on in the future for people to be on the lookout for.
Sure. I've been playing in bands for quite a long time, but I just kind of started branching out on my own and being a solo artist for the first time. I won this quite a prestigious songwriting award late last year called the Grant McLennan Fellowship. Grant
Okay.
McLennan was a singer and a writer from Brisbane in a band called the Go-Betweens. It's quite an iconic Queensland band. So unfortunately he passed away in 2000 and five, I believe. And so they have an award that they give out every year in his honor. So I
Oh,
was
wow.
the lucky recipient of that in December. So that kind of gave me like a whole new kind of boost of self-esteem and drive, because I
Yeah, I
haven't
bet.
really been writing a lot of music over the last couple of years. I've still been an active musician, but mostly just kind of been doing other projects and things like that. So yeah,
Right.
it just kind of reignited a bit of a fire in me, and I just started I wrote new music for the application for that, and then I released my first single in April, and about to release another one in at the end of July. And then I received some other funding to do a whole album, so I'm actually going to be starting that next week, and
Oh,
hopefully all
wow.
that that'll it'll be done kind of in quite a slow process over the next kind of 6 months. It won't be kind of like a
Right.
full-time kind of thing. It'll just be kind of a few days a week or something like that, kind of churning away.
Right. Well,
Yeah, so it's
that plus on top of what you're doing with Vogue, you must be pretty busy
yeah
around like these last few days, huh?
yeah yeah that's it, man. Like even like with with the pandemic, I've actually still been quite active, and there's been quite a lot to do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of almost been, in a bit of a positive way,
Right.
allowed me to, have a lot more time to focus on those things, which has been kind of pleasant, and pay a bit more attention to things that I wouldn't be have been able to prior, when normal life is kind of, happening around me.
Right. No, for sure. I totally get that. I'm the same way. I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I play guitar for this band called Gemini Syndrome, and
Awesome.
you're lucky. Yeah, you're lucky. You still kept busy because we had a busy year planned, like scheduled. We had a show with fucking Snoop Dogg planned next month, but
Oh,
because
no.
this, yeah. But all thanks to coronavirus, everything got postponed, as they say right now. But we all know it's going to be canceled. But they don't want to.
Yeah, of
The
course, yeah.
promoters don't want to give back any money as long as they don't have. You know what I mean? Like, so they'll say postponed until the time gets closer. You know what I mean? And then,
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry to hear
but
that, man. That would have been fantastic playing on a festival besides Snoop Dogg. That's pretty special.
I know. Yeah, and Stained, Disturbed. It
Oh
was supposed to be a
wow.
big year, dude. So you're lucky you still kept busy.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side of that, I mean, I did have, kind of like yourself, I had a big year planned as well, and it's just kind of, but all of the, things that I had lined up, like I was the Grant McLennan Fellowship gives you money to go to a city, one of the London,
What was that
New
again?
York,
I'm
or
sorry, I didn't
Berlin.
hear. Wait, what was it called? I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, sorry. Oh, the Grant McLennan Fellowship, the award I won
Oh,
last year.
yeah. Right.
It actually gives you money to go and write music in another country for 3 months. So I was supposed to be in New York right now on my kind of fellowship writing music, and I was supposed to do my single launch at the Viper Room in April, and I was supposed to be getting married. My fiance and I had to postpone our wedding. So yeah, I had a
That's
lot
a
of stuff lined
shame.
up too, which is so not like me. I'm usually kind of a not thinking too far ahead, you know, but this is the first kind of year that I'd kind of planned out. So I feel somewhat responsible. I feel like it's life's, you know, way of poking fun at me for trying to arrange my life in order. So it's, I take responsibility for you not being able to play with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, well, you know, I forgive you. I forgive you for that, brother. I'll let it slide, only because you seem like a nice guy and you're a good player. So I'll let it slide one time, but don't let it happen
very
again.
Very kind. No. I won't blame anything ever again.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure. I was talking to Glenn from Butters. They were gonna plan another tour, or at least talk about getting their tour going, because they released a single, and then a couple other bands I know out there that had a bunch of shit planned, but just for everybody from like a worldwide scale, you know. So the fact that you are still able to keep busy is a really good sign that you're doing something right.
Well, I mean, it just gave me a lot more time to write and, you know, do studio work and, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, just, you know, press and promo and stuff for the last single, I was able to pay a lot more attention to. But, yeah, it's just like the, you know, the worldwide pause button was pressed, you know, and we're all just kind of floundering around trying to do what we can. But, it's going to be exciting.
Wouldn't you agree it's kind of like a wake-up call for musicians? Like, even the big-time musicians, I saw them, like, suffering. And it's, like, weird. Because you look at your idols and you think, wow, they're like gods. But then when the rug gets pulled out from underneath them, it's like you see, like, their true, like, the true inner person that's within them. Like underneath the act, the rock star act. And it's crazy to see, like, how humbled everyone became. I don't know. Have you noticed that out there? Because I noticed that here.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody just didn't really know what to do. I mean, like, you don't see anything like this coming your way. And when you're just so used to, you know, your own personal, you know, goals or growth or situation, I guess it's like the best way of, you know, whatever, you know, pointing its finger at you saying, you know, the world does not revolve around you. And, you know, and what, you know, it's, and I always just say, like, life just doesn't care about your plans. Like, the only thing you can really count on is that everything can change at a moment's notice. So, but I think, you know, overall, I mean, you know, it has been, you know, hard for everybody, but I mean, you know, I think for the people who have, you know, been affected for work and, you know, losing income and, you know, plans being ruined, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're healthy and, you know, with your family, I think that's kind of, you know, that's the best case scenario. And
did you guys have to separate?
No, my fiance and I were able to, you know, stay together and stuff, which was good.
Here in the States,
we didn't get to see our families, and
you did. Okay, that's cool, because here they did a nationwide lockdown, at least in LA, because I'm from Los Angeles. So it's nice to hear that over there you guys didn't go through that, because there was like 2 or 3 months where I couldn't go see my family. Well, I could, but my family is a bunch of germaphobes, like hypochondriacs. Oh, okay. They think, and they ended up getting sick, not me, because I don't really shy away from that. I kind of see through all the nonsense. Not saying it's not real. It's just I personally don't think it's as crazy, but that's just another story. But my brother, who's a hypochondriac, he ended up getting strep throat, and he was the cautious one.
Oh no! So, right. Okay.
Yeah. But it's nice to hear that over there. Like, it seems like, and I talked to Glenn about this too. Like, when he came on my show last, like, it seems a little more laid back over there.
Australia really hit the restrictions really hard, really early on, which, you know, we can be very thankful for. You know, we watch the news and obviously see that you guys over there haven't been as lucky, you know, and especially, you know, New York, where I was supposed to be right now, is, you know, one of the you know, most heavily hit places. But the restrictions here were kind of, you know, took us all a bit by shock, because, you know, our border of the state that I live in is still closed to the rest of the country. So
Brisbane, right?
The state's called Queensland, which is, you know, one of the biggest states. But so the last week we haven't had any new cases of coronavirus, which is good, and there's only two active cases in the state. But I mean, you know, everybody took it really, really seriously, really quickly. Even though, like, it seemed a bit absurd, you know, like for our actual state border to be closed, you know, to other you know, other states. It just seemed a bit ludicrous and that, you know, everything shut down. But, you know, in retrospect, you know, I'm very thankful that that happened because, you know, it really flattened the curve really, really quickly. And we're starting to get back to a bit of normalcy ahead of everybody else. You know, so even though it seemed pretty, you know, like just like what the hell's going on, you know, I feel like all the right decisions were made, you know, really early on, and we had to stick to some pretty severe restrictions.
Right. And really fast. I'm not cutting you off all the time. I think there might be a weird latency going on. So I swear to God, I'm not cutting you off. I'm not being rude.
No, no problem. No, no problem at all.
Okay. Okay. Cause I'm responding in the right timing, but I hear my audio like going over to you, like a millisecond off. So I'm like, fuck, do I sound like I'm cutting the guy off? Shit.
No, that's no problem. I mean, like back in the day when you used to call, I mean, like 10 years ago, you'd call the States and, you know, it would be like 3 or 4 seconds of a delay. So we're getting close. We're getting close to a real time conversation without any delay across the border there. So,
right. Hopefully one day we'll, have the whole Star Wars thing, you know, the whole, what do they call it? The little projection of hologram, but like the live holograms, you know how they would do it. I'm going all geek on everything. Not even a Star Wars geek, but I know that at least. See, that would be badass, dude. Like right now you're just sitting in my room with me, like a hologram version of you. Like I'd have you over all the time and jamming.
Okay, do a virtual jam. But you know, the thing I'm most upset about that we don't have, which we should have, is hoverboards. And I don't know who is to blame
for
that.
Is that because of Back to the Future?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. We were supposed to have them years ago and there's still nothing. You know, and I'm just, you know, waiting for it.
Right. Well, you do know, I don't know if you follow any of the conspiracy stuff, but a lot of the conspiracy guys are kind of looking at that movie and looking at how like Biff, he's like a representation of Trump and how everything's going down now. I don't know if you've heard that. I mean, because not everything.
I haven't heard that theory.
Okay. Well, I do believe personally there are. There is some truth in certain conspiracies, maybe not the entire thing, but there's got to be some truth to something that like is like the backbone to what has blown up. So, you know, because I'm in a band with Masons, and like, you know, they kind of encode, they don't tell me anything. So if any other Masons are listening, they don't tell me your secrets, but in a way,
you're in a band
kinda,
with Freemasons, people who are Freemasons.
Yeah. And sometimes sometimes I get intel, you know what I mean? Not the whole entire thing, but I sometimes hear things, you know, I have ears, I hear things, you know, and a lot of the stuff people say, like, is actually sort of true. It might not be completely 100% true, but there is some truth to a lot of those crazy theories that you hear. And you know, maybe on a off camera I'll discuss that with you, but I'm just, you know,
I love a good conspiracy. I'm willing to listen to all ideas because one of them's got to be the right one.
I know, right? Yeah. I actually never thought of it. One of them's got to be the right one. That's a good way to look at it. And then, you know, but that going back to that movie though, like they were like, people were saying that like that guy, Biff's supposed to be like Trump and like how everything's going now. Like that was like them doing what they call predictive programming. You ever heard of that before?
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole Simpsons thing is pretty scary when you think about it.
I remember the coronavirus.
It's a little bit too coincidental.
Do you remember the coronavirus episode?
Is that when he gets the package from overseas?
Yeah, from China. And there's like a green mist floating around.
Yeah.
And Chief Wiggum tries shooting at it. Yeah. That supposedly was the coronavirus. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I just, you know, because The Simpsons kind of weaned off in quality, I think, you know, over the years. Right. I haven't watched what's coming next. So I'm going to be, you know, a bit shocked when we see whatever's coming next. I just, you know,
I know, right?
You know, when they
now,
see
next
that
time you watch,
breaking news.
Well, next time you watch The Simpsons, you're probably going to look in the deep, like in the background, to see what you can find, right?
I'm going to be taking
hidden
notes.
Exactly. So going back to your session work, because the album you did with Bogue, that's done, or is there still some work that got to be done on that? Because was there a halt put on that when everything went down?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all tr we actually did the last little bit of tracking when during the pandemic, once a few restrictions were lifted and we could have kind of five people together. So we just had myself and Clint and our engineer Joel, and
Okay.
we had a guy come in to do some oboe tracking on a song, which you probably wouldn't expect from Clint. But yeah, this
No.
music's it's really dense and diverse, and it, you know, the songs have been around for quite a long time. And
Yeah.
yeah, but
He has an
it's all
extensive
tracked,
song
it's all
bank.
finished. He
Yeah, that's
does. He
cool.
has, and he's such a great writer. He has so many great songs. I even remind him of songs that he can't remember that he's
Oh, yeah,
written.
Ma,
And I
yeah,
say
that's right.
that,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, I see. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I like that one. I
Oh, fuck,
said,
we should
what
put
yeah,
that in the
you
album.
yeah. Oh, it's great. He's he's
Well,
a
actually,
ball of energy.
I was very disappointed to find out from Glenn that Useless Heart is not included on this upcoming solo album. Do you know what song that is? The piano one?
No, I'm not aware of that one.
Oh, because that's one
Is that
I did for
one of
him.
Clint's songs?
Yeah,
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm not really pissed, but I was a little bummed. I was like, damn it, because it's a damn good song. And I feel like it
Oh,
could be a
no.
hit. He showed me the chords on acoustic when he was out here in LA back like a couple years ago, and he asked me to write piano to it, and I wrote this full on piece based on the chord progression that he showed me, and I was like hoping, because it took a little while, because I remember he was gonna go back to Australia to do his solo stuff, and then do Butters again, and then but then things kind of happened, and like other things took off, and so I was a little bummed out. Like, I was like, man, that sucks. It's such a good song. Maybe next album, whatever that might be.
Yeah,
But
you never know where when it'll pop up. I think there's the collection of songs that are on this album, you know, kind of fit together really well, and they're kind of
right.
all from the same time frame, and it's just a really impressive flowing body of work. It's
From what I
just, yeah,
heard, it
it's a
sounded
real.
great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, those songs are really special to me as well. Like, you know, I think it was, you know, almost 10, oh, it was probably 8 years ago when, you know, we first started working on that kind, on that, on those, on that music. And like
Jesus,
to
really?
be able to like, yeah. So to kind of, you know, see it to fruition now is really
Right.
special. I mean, you know, 8 years is like a, you know, a blink of an eye, really, when you think about it. It went by so quickly, and, you know, life
Well,
happens to
not
you, and
really. Not really. I think if you put your heart into something, like you're saying, like those songs mean something to you as well.
oh
Like the
yeah.
song I did with like the piano song I did for Clint. I had a connection to that, you know, like a couple years go
Yeah, of
by, and
course,
like
yeah.
you sort of miss it. Like you want something to happen with it because you're invested. So it might be a blink in the eye, but to you, it probably seems like, fuck, man, I want to get this done. You know, I mean, at least for
Oh
me,
yeah.
like you know what I
Well,
mean?
oh, absolutely. I mean, we tracked the initial, you know, beds for the album 1 year ago. And you know,
Right.
it's taken, and it's like still like now it's finally all tracked and done, but you know, it hasn't been mixed yet or mastered. So I mean, that year just
Right.
like completely flew by, you know. And we're just like, whoa, it's just, you know, you think that, you know, you've got plenty of time, but you know, it moves fast.
Right. And this
But it
year,
is
yeah.
happening.
Well, good. No, I hope so. I haven't talked to Bogue in a while, but next time, if I whenever I talk to him, I'll ask him about that. We were at Gemini Syndrome. We're signed to Sony, and we have a third
Okay.
album ready to go. Like it's recorded, mixed, mastered. It's ready to be released. But this year it's went to shit, you know?
Oh
This
yeah.
is, you know, though it's just real, it's a real it, I don't you kind of are different because you are doing your own thing, so you didn't really have like anyone else. It seems like you didn't have anyone else's time frame but your own. And
Yeah, I
but
was
when
very
you're
lucky
but
that
when
way.
you're yeah but when you're dealing with a full band, and me, I'm the new guy. Like I'm like the last to know anything. Like I'm the newish, like the younger, sexier, you know, looking guy in the band. So, and they're bitter towards me for that. So they tell me everything last, and you know, yeah. But you know, I personally was really looking forward to this album being released, and it's just a shame how I what do you think? Do you think the music industry, since we're both in it, do you think you can see it recovering from what is from this year?
Well, I was going to ask you that same question. I mean, do you see, you know, an alteration to the way that music is released, or you know, festivals are played, or like just the whole industry? Do you think that things bounce back to the way they were, or is there a progression, you know, because, you know, do we adapt to the new normal? I don't know what the answer is, but.
Well, let me put it this way. This is my opinion. I think, I hope everything goes back to normal. That's my hope. Mm. But I'm 29 and I'm learning in life that people kind of fuck things up for everyone else. So I can see a bunch of dummies, like just like messing up festivals and like how things are ran, you know, like, oh, you got to be 6 feet apart. I could see them trying to implement that sort of shit. And it was just, it will ruin I could see it ruining like the, you know, like when you go to a show, you're cramped up next to a bunch of people you don't know, you know, like some chick's tits on your elbow, you know, big fat guy's guts behind on your head, you know, like that's what being at a rock concert's about. And I feel like I think they're going to attempt to make things go back to normal, but they're going to do it on their, whoever they are, like their own terms. And I think it's not going to be as like genuine. That's my opinion. Now, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, that unity and, you know, community that music creates, especially in a, you know, a live setting or, you know, performance of festival, you know, environment, is extremely important. And, you know,
right.
And that connecting with people that you don't know through this common love of something of music, mm-hmm. you know, it's obviously in my opinion, the most powerful, you know, kind of thing there is. It just transcends languages and
right.
stereotypes of different people, and you know, being
it's
able
universal.
To, you know, oh yeah, it's there's it's, you know yeah. nothing like it. Yeah. So
yeah,
and so to be able to, you know, be, you know, close, you know, and you know, with people, you know, in that environment, I think is extremely integral part of music in general.
Right. Right.
And I would be very sad if that was to kind of change not for the better, you know, if it's not a progression, if it's a regression, that's something that would be pretty concerning, like having to stand, you know, a certain, you know, amount of, you know, distance from the next person, you know, from you at a gig sounds pretty crazy. I understand this, you know, precautions need to be taken at the moment just because there isn't, you know, a vaccine for it, for the virus. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to, I think when things are, start to level out, you know, there'll be something mm-hmm. else that, you know, everybody's attention, you know, latches onto.
Yeah.
There's always, you right. know, the next thing. And,
well, you did I notice that you know, once the whole George Floyd thing went down, everyone forgot yeah. about the coronavirus. You notice that? Everyone forgot about the big virus everyone wouldn't shut the fuck up about.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so you
yeah,
make a
no,
good point. You
yeah,
make a good I mean, point it, there.
Yeah. I mean, we had mass protesting here and, you know, there was a lot of new cases that were, you know, found due to the, you know, them being at the same rally and things like that, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, there was, you know, a big worry about the second strain, you know, which happened with the Spanish flu at the, you know, 1918 or whenever it was. And, but yeah, you know, people's, you know, attention definitely shifts due to what's on the news, you know, and that's
and
kind
for
of
you
just
guys-
a,
you guys had a big ass fire you guys were dealing with too. I just remembered you guys had it a little rough this
yeah.
past year.
Yeah.
Like you guys,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
like, what's
life gave
next?
You the
like,
shit
it's going to be, oh
right?
yeah.
It's, you're going to get gonna like killer, like, you're going to get killer, like killer crocodiles on like jet skis with machine guns. That's what you guys are going to get now. Yeah.
I'm hoping it's aliens at least. That's going to be exciting.
Aliens or demons. Aliens are demons, you know, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aliens
that's
are really,
it.
The aliens are demons, dude.
Oh, is that the conspiracy?
Well, okay. I mean, it's not a conspiracy. It's a Christian viewpoint. I'm a Christian, so I mean, I have my viewpoint. I recently saw a ship flying through the sky really fast. It like zipped through the clouds. It was the weirdest fucking thing ever. It was like elongated.
You saw that with your own eyes?
Yeah, I was driving on the street, and it was like maybe 2 seconds. I just caught it and. Imagine, you know how like a slip and you guys have slip and slides? I'm fucking talking to you like yeah. you're from another world. So slip and slides. You know how how you pour like dish soap on it and you glide on it? Not so much.
Yeah.
Like you know how, like a rocket is pushed through I don't want to say the wrong terminology and that sound like an idiot, but you know how rockets push the jet or whatever, you know, like through the sky? It looked like it was gliding through the sky. Like wow. if you're on a slip and slide with dish soap and you're like hauling ass, but not sliding, you're gliding, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like it was
just kind of You think they're just like kind of checking things out and seeing what's happening? And
I don't know. It was like this elongated looking ship with like green lights in the back, and it went through the sky, and I saw the tail end of it. I was like, what the fuck was that? Okay. And so I don't know, man. They could be demons. They could be aliens. Who knows?
Well, just before the virus kind of broke, didn't they, the US government kind of confirm that there was, you know, unidentified flying objects, and they just couldn't explain what they were. They didn't say they're aliens, but they said, we don't know what they are. But then the virus happened, and then everybody did not pay attention to the fact that they kind of admitted that. I was like, they just said that they don't know what that is. And but, you know,
I thought it was switched around. I thought the virus came out, then the alien thing came out. I think it was the other way around.
Okay.
You know, I have my theories on that, you know, but I don't want to come off as like a crazy conspiracy guy, but I have my theories. I'll tell you, you know, because, you know, you got to be careful what you say. There's a lot of people who just think that they can ruin people's careers just because they hear something they don't like, you know, at least in America. That's how it is nowadays. It's turning America. Yeah. I love America. It's just turning into a very lame place. Like, everyone's entitled to have their own opinions. I don't care if someone agrees with me or not, but I don't think people have the right to ruin someone's career just because they say something you don't like. You know, you could just turn around and not listen. You know what I mean? But people, and I blame social media for this, because everyone has an outlet, a voice, like 24/7. They've gotten used to like, hey, this is my opinion. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you don't listen to me, you're a bad person. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's like that in Australia. Like, I went out there in 2018 for the Butter Show. Clint invited me out, and it was my first time out. And I think now it's because I was friends with the band, but everyone was so nice to me there. Like, I didn't notice any jackasses there. In Brisbane, like, it was so, or is it Brisbane or Queensland? I don't remember.
Brisbane's the city.
Okay. So, all right. Queensland's the city. So I went to Brisbane for they played at the Triffid, a few nights in a row.
Yeah. I was at one of those shows, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I was there for like a week or so. And, everyone was there, was like, they didn't seem like dickheads to me over there, but here there's a lot of like dummies. Not everyone, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, people who are just like entitled. Over there, people seem like everyone's so laid back. Like, everyone was happy to see me, but I don't know if it's because I was friends with the band and they just saw my pass and they wanted to go backstage with me. I don't know, but you know what I mean?
I think, I've always had a really, really pleasant experience with Americans. I mean, I've been to the States 8 times, and I love it there, and I love the people there, and I feel like everybody's a little bit less on edge in America. That's the kind of vibe that I get. I mean, people will talk to each other and like have kind of interactions. And, you know, if that happens here, they think that you're a crazy person, I guess. Everyone's just a bit kind of, you know, in their own kind of bubble, I think. Yeah, I think in Australians in general, they are friendly, but I mean, yeah, I think that there's just maybe Americans are inclined to just be a bit more of them, you know, be themselves a little bit more, if you know what I mean.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just because it's different. Both sides of the fence are different for both of us. Like me, I actually loved Australia. Like I told myself, like, if an opportunity came up, I would go out there. I wouldn't just leave the band there. But if I loved it in Brisbane, now, again, granted, I was there because I was hanging out with Bogue and Butterfly Effect, and it was an awesome time. I get it. It, you know, real life happens out there. But everyone just seemed laid back to me. But it's funny because you think everyone's more laid back here. So I think it's just a matter of reference, like what you deem as laid back. You know what I mean? Because I was told Brisbane's kind of like the Malibu of Australia. So everyone's kind of yuppier, okay, if that makes sense. Like, is that true about Brisbane?
It can be. I mean, it's very much, you know, people change quite quickly depending on where they live in suburb to suburb. It's very strange like that. It's almost like a bunch of, you know, different cities in one. But it is kind of overall quite a big country town, it feels like. But I mean, the weather here is beautiful. It's extremely hot in the summer. A lot of really, really great, you know, days. It's close to the beach, like, even though it's in the city, and it's all built around a river. And it's a very pretty city as well.
It's definitely a lot. I'm sorry, go on.
What was that?
No, I was gonna say, I went in March. That's when the shows were, and I, stupid ass me, I packed for winter time because in here in the States, March is cold.
Okay.
So I remember like asking, because I had like my jackets on. I was like, Bogue. I was like, Clint, like, why is it so fucking hot here? It's summer, Mike. He's like, our summer just ended. I was like, oh, damn it. Like, that's why I'm sweating bullets here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just funny you mentioned the weather because I totally fucked that up. Like, I popped for wintertime and I had my cool, I wanted to look cool, and I had my cool jackets. You know, I wanted to, you know, earn my flag, my Aussie flag, as Clint called it. And,
okay.
but the weather definitely was nice though. It was like it was just about to be your guys' Halloween time or autumn. And, Halloween, but autumn, because autumn is, for us, that's Halloween time. And, I was expecting it to be cold, but it was windy though. It was the weirdest thing. It was like it was like a windy summer day.
Yeah, yeah. It can be. Yeah, the weather here can, you know, change. It's quite extreme, especially in Queensland. Like, because of the humidity in the summer, we get these incredible electrical storms that roll in the afternoon. So, like, Christmas here is ridiculous. It is so hot. Like, Christmas
isn't
going
December,
into January.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, yeah, December,
sure,
December, January.
The same month. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same. And we used to have this really big festival that Clint actually played a lot of times called the Big Day Out. And that would be at the end of January. And I mean, we used to hold it on the Sydney one would be on Australia Day, which is the 26th of January. And it would just be the most ridiculously hot day. And so you've got like 60,000, you know, people like, you know, moshing and seeing music, and it's just so hot and you can't escape the heat, but it was just like the best fun as well. But on the flip side of that, I actually you probably don't know, but it does actually snow in Australia as well. There are snow fields, and I actually grew up
really that
in
is surprising here.
In Australia. Yeah a lot of people
very
don't
surprising.
Know that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we've got everything here. So I grew up in the snow. I was born in Brisbane, moved to the snow, and then moved back when I was 18. But I went over I'm used to, you know, cold climates, but I went over to New York last Christmas with my fiance and her family, and it was just the coldest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Oh my God. Like, my bones were aching, and I was wearing all of my clothes at once, and we were walking around, you know, Times Square on Christmas night, and went saw the Rockefeller tree, and I just like, I can't handle this. Like, it hurts to like just exist right now. It was so cold.
That was
so.
Me dying when I was walking with Clint throughout Fortitude Valley.
Yeah, that's you in the heat.
Bullets in my It's so funny. You and we experienced like the same thing but opposite. That is very surprising. Oh, they have snow there.
Lots of it.
But I do know that you guys have fucking killer kangaroos there. I know that for a fucking fact.
Oh man. Yeah, we have everything in the world that can kill you is here.
Yeah, I saw that video. I saw that video of like the guy who like punched the kangaroo to save his dog or some shit. Apparently, though, here's where it gets fucked. There's a follow up video that isn't as popular. I don't know if you saw this, but the kangaroo followed the guy home, and he was waiting for him outside his sliding door. And I saw, and my friend showed me this that freaked me out because I was already like going. You know, because at the time, you know, Clint was the only guy I knew, like, going to a brand new continent. You know, it's just, I just flew in, you know, I was a little nerve-wracked. I was nervous. And then my friend showed me this video where, like, the kangaroo goes up to the guy's house. He, like, followed him by his scent. And he, like, he puffed out his chest, like, to fight him. And he smacked the window for him to come out. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was like,
a lot of people don't realize the kangaroos can actually be very violent, and they are extremely dangerous if they're provoked. But, you know, if they're used to seeing people, like I go, when we were trying to line this up, and I was over on an island just kind of close to where I live, but it's only like half an hour boat ride to get to this island. But there's, you know, there's lots of wildlife, and there's dolphins and kangaroos and wallabies and everything like that. And you can actually pat them because they're so used to people being around them. So that's fine,
what?
But there are, you can actually pat them.
You can pat the kangaroos and stuff. Sorry. I think you said
pat
pop them,
sorry,
like
pet
hit
them.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just punch them, and it's, no, you don't punch them. But yeah.
Well, apparently
so
not, they'll call you home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah, they're just used to people, and they know that they're not in any danger. But if they are, if they're not used to, you know, seeing humans or whatever, you know, out in the wild, and they can get really big, like as tall, they'll get like 6 feet tall.
with big biceps, maybe not that tall,
but pretty big, yeah. And yeah, like, but they'll get you.
Yeah, and of course, like, right, and I remember I was actually joking with Clint about this because he was on my I think I sent you the episode. We talked about this, but it's funny, you and I talked about the date change, like trying to figure it out, because I was planning my trip with Bogue and they were on tour. And the day I was flying in, it was like the 15th in LA, and I wasn't gonna get in until the 16th there. Mm-hmm. And but at first, mm-hmm. Clint, he said, oh, I'll pick you up, Mike. We'll grab dinner, drop you off at your hotel. I'm like, all right, cool. Because, you know, it's like, when you're going to a brand new continent by yourself, it's pretty stressful. And
sure.
But then last minute, right before I get on board, I get a message from Clint. Hey, sorry, Mike, I just realized the time difference. I'm gonna be in Newcastle. Newcastle? Or I was like, what? Yeah, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean you can't pick? What am I supposed to do? And then, you know, I'm like stressed out because a fucking kangaroo's a big ass biceps trying to knock me out. And then my mom calls me saying, hey, Nick, don't go in the ocean water there. Why, mom? Because there's flesh eating bacteria in the water. I'm like, oh my God, where am I going? Like, yeah. But, you know, and then. I will say this though. The biggest disappointment of my life, the first thing I did, I got up to my hotel room, dude. I ran into the bathroom. I didn't even use it, but this was a lifelong dream of mine. I wanted to see if the water actually did flow the opposite direction in the toilet, because in America, that's a thing. Like, it's the Simpsons. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
And yeah,
I stayed at the Ibis Hotel right next to the airport. And,
oh yeah.
I tell you, dude, it's the biggest letdown down in my life. Fuck the kangaroos, the big ass arms that'll knock you out. The water went straight down when I flushed it. It was the biggest letdown of my life. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah.
You know what really freaked me out when I went to the States is that you have like really high toilet water. It's like sits really.
Yeah, I did
like
notice
the water's
that.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. We've kind of got like. Yeah, a lot less. So I just couldn't get my head around that. I thought there was something wrong with my toilet, but you know, it's all
well,
of them.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, because I think what it was, I think it was the hotel's plumbing system, because it was one of those like suction, or you know, you press like the button, and it just sort of, it's like a jet that just.
Oh
launches,
yeah.
You know, now in your guys' household or whatever, like, are the toilets normally, do they flush the opposite direction? Like, I don't know, and I was actually there, and I still don't know, and I'm kind of pissed about.
You know
that.
What?
So.
I don't know. I haven't really paid attention. I'm gonna have to go and do it, and I'll have to get back to
you. Can you go take a piss right now and let me know? Let all of us know.
I don't need to go just yet. I'll let you know if
we'll close our eyes.
If nature calls.
We'll close our eyes. Don't worry. We'll close our eyes. We won't look. But I will say that I definitely loved it out there, and I hope to go back out there soon. And you know, hopefully you can come back out to the States soon. Hopefully L.A. You mentioned that you were going to be playing the Viper Room, or you were supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, definitely, I'll make up the date. Kind of when things start getting back to normal. But yeah, I'll have to be in New York at some stage for at least 3 months. And yeah, I love it over there, man. I would love to live over there, especially in LA for a portion of time. Like, you know, all of my heroes are there, and I love Los
Angeles.
Where
are your heroes? We talked mostly about. Conspiracies and toilets and kangaroos. Like, who are your musical heroes? Because you're such a good player. You have like a rock feel, but you actually have like a virtuoso feel. You know, it seems like you're one of those musicians who knows when to turn the virtuoso in you off and just play like a rock riff. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, that's very kind of you to say. I mean, I got bitten by the music bug when I was about 11, and I mean, I just fell in love with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was the band that like started it for me.
Is that why you resemble him? Is it people told
you
that
I look
resemble?
Like
yeah, I'm blanking on his name. Oh my god,
John
Frusciante. Oh my god, yeah. I can't believe I blanked his name. Have you ever got it before? Now that you mention that, you look just like him.
No. Oh, you reckon? No, I don't.
Like,
I've never gotten that.
It's the hair. I think it's the hair.
Oh, okay.
He is like the same hair. So, yeah.
He goes through lots of different. I mean, he does the mohawk, or he shaves it off, or he goes the Jesus look, and he's got a bunch of different looks.
Yeah,
I will actually
the look
tell you
that you have the Jesus look right now. That's what I'm thinking of right now when I see your hair. It's still long, right? It's not like
yeah. It's still long. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, John Frusciante, I mean, like his playing is you know, the biggest influence on me. And I discovered kind of all the music that I love through the Red Hot Chili Peppers and their influences and things that they were listening to. And
can he shred?
You know, and just
like can he play like shred, or is he just like a riffer?
No, he can play, man. He can play really well. And I mean, I've stolen a lot of stuff from him, but I've also, you know, I also learn a lot from other players, and my, you know, what I play is kind of a, you know, a melting pot. Obviously you would be right. The same, you know, it's a melting pot of a lot of different people. And like, you find something that right. You like that this person does, and you, you know, translate it. And you obviously, you know, and then you're going to sound like yourself. You find your own sound through all of that, you know, because, you know, basically right. you're the tone is really in your hands, you know, it's your fingerprint. It's your fingerprints on strings right. making, you know, sound and vibration, you know. And so I can't sound like, you know, Angus Young or Billy Corgan or, you know, Derek Trucks.
But would
or
you even
like
want
that,
to, though,
because,
you know? Would you even
well,
want
that's
to,
it.
Though?
I mean, a lot of – when you're a kid, I think you want to sound like your heroes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you want to get up and running and yeah, just, you know, make the same sounds. But, you know, over time, you know, you find that that's really not what it's about. And, you know, and you want right. to the greatest compliment I think that I can get is that when people hear me play, they know it's me without knowing it's me. That's mm-hmm. really exciting and special for me, because I've paved my own way and created my own sound. Right. And it's not just, you know, what amp you're playing through or guitar. Like, you can tell it's John Frusciante playing on anything that he, you know, would plug into
right.
or play on. And same
like
with all the great players, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can tell it's, you know, Angus Young playing straight away. You can tell it's John Mayer. You can tell it's Jimi Hendrix, you know, all yeah. those guys, yeah. you know, the best ones have their thing. Not saying I'm, you know, one of those people. It's just, you know, I think it's really important to have that fingerprint,
right.
you know, sound, you know.
Right. And it also, I'd imagine, do you ever get like, do you ever, like, people ever hear you playing and they ever say, you know, oh, I hear like a John Frusciante influence in your playing? Do you ever get that? Because that, to me, you know, Bogue's my friend, but he's also one of my favorite
yeah.
singers. So it's cool how, you know, we met and everything. And I don't copy him. He even said, you know, he gave me vocalizing. He even told me, you know, like, find your own voice with this, you know, this techniques mm. he showed me. And I, of course, I have. But it's always mm. a compliment when you hear someone say, oh, I can hear like your hero, like in your like influence, like in the influence, you know, like, do you ever get that?
What's up? No, you go. Sorry.
No, I was gonna let you go.
I don't get the John Frusciante comparison very much. I guess he's maybe a little bit more of an obscure player. I guess a lot of people kind of really don't know. They know the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but you know, John himself, who I'm actually a huge fan of his solo music, and you know, his solo records are like some of my favorite music, and his playing on that is just unbelievable. But I mean, I get like, you know, a lot of, it's really funny, I'll get people saying you sound like somebody that I don't listen to or I've never really tried to emulate or anything like that. Like, Dave Gilmour is a big
really?
One that people,
okay.
like, you sound a lot like Dave Gilmour, and I've never been a Pink Floyd fan. And
do you do a lot of
ambient
stuff?
I sometimes do. Not really. Okay. I mean, there is actually quite a bit. Actually, it's funny you say saying that I don't do any of your stuff. On Clint's record, there is actually quite a bit of soundscape and atmospheric kind of stuff. But like, I've got just a lot of kind of different things that I like to do, and it just, you know, depends on the song and what's, you know, best to serve the song. So I try and be kind of versatile, and because I have done like session work and stuff for other people, like I can kind of try and weed out my personal style a little
right.
bit, you know, to try and make it a bit more, you know, I guess just fit in with what's there. But you know, obviously there's still, you know, you still will probably hear it's me, you know, there's just certain, you know,
right.
notes or patterns or things that you kind of just go to as a player.
Right. No, for sure. And, and that goes without saying, like you had mentioned, when you're younger, when you first start out, like I love Dimebag Darrell, you know, and like
oh,
him
cool.
Dimebag, you know, a Dimebag solo or riff when you hear it, you know, like, oh, that's Dimebag. He's like the king of feel, you know, at least in the metal world. And, but everyone's hero is just a mesh of their own heroes. If that makes sense, you know? Like, you know, like John, for you, John Frusciante, like your hero he's a melting pot of all of his heroes, you know? So, and it,
exactly.
I think that when, what separates the pros from the amateurs or the ones that don't make it, the ones that don't make it are the ones who try to sound like they're heroes, which is nothing wrong with like, appreciating your heroes. I mean, hell, I mean, I tell Bogle all the time, like, dude, I love your like technique. It's a big influence on me, but I want to be my own, voice, you know, cause I sing backups for Gemini Syndrome and, you know, and my singer, right. He's a very talented, gifted singer. So his harmonies are very extensive, and I have to make sure my shit's on point. So I don't, for example, I don't try to sound like Bogue or my other influence is Elton John. As off as that sounds, like Elton John, his piano playing and his singing, along with Freddie Mercury, like it's like a mesh for me. And but you try to find your own voice, and that's what separates the pros, I think. Would you agree? Like the amateurs, they focus all their time and energy to sound like their heroes, to copy them because they think it's going to work out for whatever reason. And the pros decide, hey, I'm going to do my own thing, pave my own way.
Yeah, I think that gets to a point where you can emulate your heroes well, you know, like you could like pass it off as like being pretty close. And I think that's the point where you go, okay, what's next? And I think it's that desire to kind of push through to that, you know, next thing. And I think you know, you're going to get to like a certain level, you know, at a certain point, if you play, you know, if you're playing like, you know, 10 hours a day, which, you know, we all used to do when we were younger, you know, when we're starting to figure out what, you know, how to play and, you know, get better and better. And yeah, I think like when I, you know, when I could kind of play, you know, John, you know, solos and things like that, it was like, okay, now, you know, but then, you know, I want, you know, what's next and how do I kind of find the next thing? But by that time, you're kind of, you know, new, you know, influences are starting to come into your life. Like I love the Smashing Pumpkins, and I think Billy Corgan's such a great underrated guitar player. And so you start like kind
everyone's
of getting
so focused on
there
his voice.
And,
I think
yeah,
his voice is more
he's such a great songwriter.
Very unique.
Well, and I think overall he's a great songwriter. I think he's just, you know, some of his songs are just, you know, unbelievable, you know. And then, you know, I got into Jane's Addiction, and, you know, Dave Navarro is like a whole different beast. Right. And you know, but I love I love just people who are good at, you know, what they do. Like I love, you know, Keith Urban. I think is probably one of the top five guitar players in the world. He's just an absolute beast,
really?
You know. And oh yeah,
is he really?
If you haven't checked out Keith Urban's playing, go down a YouTube rabbit hole and check it out. He is otherworldly. He's an absolute monster player. And I mean, yeah, John Mayer's, you know, incredible. And if you I mean, and then like there's like slide players like, you know, like Derek Trucks, or you know, I mean, Bonamassa's, you know, great at what he does, and Eric Johnson and stuff. So like all of those different things, like you start like kind of looking around for what else there is, and all of that stuff becomes, you know, yeah, like you said, your melting pot. And
right, and that's what the whole world is like, one melting pot after another. If that makes sense, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And like with those guitar players, like there's a lot, you know, things that I don't like about their playing, which, you know, I don't never bothered to like learn. It's just like, oh, I like that lick from that person, and I like that, you know, riff from that person, or that tone or whatever. And that all becomes, you know, yeah, your thing. And that's really exciting seeing that kind of come to fruition. And, you know, and that's the best thing as well about, you know, music or playing, is that you never get to finish it. There's no end date. You know, you'll never, you know music, you know. It's not like, you know, a race.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that. Sorry, I shadow. I'm also a film composer.
Oh, great.
I shadow a Disney composer, from time to time, and he's done like the Star Wars, not the movies, but the cartoon series and stuff. And he even mentioned like there is no aha moment, like kind of like what you were saying. Like you never done, like there's no like I can rest now. Like you're always learning. You're always, you know, trying to better yourself. And I used to think there was an aha moment that every big time musician can just crash in the couch and say, oh, I can relax now. But I'm learning that that's not true.
Oh, it's 100% not true. That's what I love about it, is that, there are penny drop moments where you kind of get, you understand something a little bit better. And you're like, oh, that's really
They're
great.
Brief, and though.
That's, yeah, they are brief. But there's no big one. And that's what I love about it. Like music is infinite, and it's a mystery, and it's always evolving, and you're learning new things about it all the time. There is no completion date for music or playing or any kind of, you know, functional part of music. And that's just, I think, the most amazing gift that, you know, whatever this is all about, that you know, music is just the most amazing thing in the world. It exists, you know.
It's like I said earlier, it's universal. It's one of those I think music and numbers are one and the same, because numbers
absolutely
are universal and music is universal. Like, you know, like I said, I'm a composer, and it's amazing what you can express to someone, like when they watch a movie and they're watching some hunk like got lost his girlfriend in a car crash. I don't know, and she's dying, kissing each other last time, you know, like some bullshit like that. And you could feel the sadness like through the music. Like, that's a universal language. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the time, the emotion that is supposed is that you know that the movie's trying to get across, you can't really get that message across just visually. I mean, it's predominantly the music that kind of tells you what you're supposed to be feeling in that situation. You know,
that's what makes a bad actor too. If you're seeing like a bad actor, if you're seeing like someone who's like a really bad actor, they're trying to do the music's job. You ever seen that? Like, where they overact to try to sound like my dad's an actor. He's a SAG actor. And, he's seen people like overact because they're trying to portray emotions that really the music should be doing. Cause that's the music's
really
job.
Great point. Really, really great point.
Yeah. I should write a book. I'm a genius, dude. I didn't want to say it at first, but, I'm a genius. You know, I'm a model. I'm a conspiracy theorist expert. You know, I'm a UFO expert.
You wear many
fighter.
Hats.
Yeah. And I make my own hats too, in case I didn't mention that.
Okay. I'm looking forward to buying the book and the hat that goes with the book.
It's not for sale. It's not for sale.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean though? Like, music has that universal quality where humans, like you said, the visual aspect can't cover. It's all audio because music, it's emotional. And when you play like certain, like, okay, for example, like you understand this, like dissonant chords, you know, to the average everyday person who isn't a musician, they'd be like, oh my God, that sounds bad. These notes are clashing. They don't sound like they work. But then if you know how to blend like dissonance, you understand how that creates a certain emotion that people they're already feeling in the inside. They just don't know that the emotion they feel is just the dissonance that's being transposed into the music. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Or like creating tension, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And music is just, I'm, you know, and that's why I'm grateful I'm a pianist, because I think the most universal instrument is piano.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just right in front of you. You like, you know, it's why all the old composers used, you know, pianos or harpsichords or whatever the fuck they had back then to write their pieces. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just, you know, a note, you know, a G sharp, you know what I mean? It's the same note. It doesn't matter what instrument you're playing it on. The timbre might be different. The feel might be different, but it's still the same note. And, so guitar is just your thing? You sing too, or is it just guitar?
Well, yeah, no, I sing as well. Obviously not anywhere near, you know, what Clint can. I mean, I play everything a little bit. I mean, guitar is my primary instrument. But I can, you know, I play drums as well, and I'm competent enough on, you know, piano that I can play what I need to, in a recording sense. Like, I wouldn't go and do a gig, I completely agree with you about the piano. I love it so much, and I'm actually saving that for when I'm an old man. I've got an idea that I'm going to learn how to play piano really, really well. I'm going to buy a beautiful grand piano, and then with a nice view of the ocean, and just play to the water, and just figure out how to play piano in my golden years. That's what I'm going to spend all my time. I'm not going to garden or do any of that nonsense, but I am going to be a proficient piano player. But that's like my retirement.
I think piano is the most beautiful instrument. And one thing I've noticed, like so music always came easy. My grandfather, he was a professional, you know, pianist for I doubt you would know it, but out here they had, the Merv Griffin show, the Freddie Martin Orchestra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Freddie Martin Orchestra. You've heard of, okay. You have heard of that.
I know it kind of from Seinfeld, because he finds the set from the Merv Griffin show. Is that the one?
Okay. Well, it's the Merv Griffin.
Have you seen that episode?
Yeah, Merv Griffin show. Yep. No, that one, I don't think it's the same show. It was like old school, like back when they were like, they had like variety shows where they would do like live advertisements, like old school. But I know what episode I love that. I love Seinfeld.
Me too.
But my grandfather, he was a virtuoso pianist. Like, that's where I get my talent from him. And
oh wow,
he was in, you know, he was like the Paul, you know, Paul Schaefer, like Letterman. You, I don't know if you guys get Letterman. Yeah, okay, yeah. He's like the Paul Schaefer of the show, you know what I mean? Like the duo,
yeah,
sort
musical
of thing.
Director, yeah.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, lost my train of thought. Oh my god,
the grandfather.
That's what I was gonna say. Wow, must have been not that important. But you know what I'm saying? I'm getting his piano one day. My uncle has it, but one day I'm inheriting his grand piano. So that'll be cool.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Are you planning on buying a piano, or do you already have one?
I just have like an electric piano, but I will buy a very nice one one day.
And, like a full scale, like full scale grand piano?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Like a nice, like a Yamaha, like or a nice, they have,
like a nice, like a white John Lennon-esque kind of thing, grand piano with the lid open. That's what the vision I've got in my head anyway. I just need to.
Oh, you want
to
like go all imagine on everyone?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I reckon if you got to do it, you got to do it all the way.
No. Okay. This might be sacrilegious for me to say, but I'm not a fan of that song. I think it's a little overplayed. I don't like the way it sounds. I think the way he plays the chords, it's dark, and I get what the song, you know, I get it. But me personally, I'm probably shooting myself in the foot right now. I'm not a fan of the song. I don't get the hype, and I know that's probably crazy, you know, for me to say.
I think that's a lot the way with a lot of songs that have just been played a lot. You know, there's Smells Like Teen Spirit, or you know, whatever. You know, it's right. Just like, you kind of lose the objectivity of it because it's just it's almost like ingrained in your the culture, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody knows those songs, but you know, I think there's definitely better John Lennon songs, you know, but I understand where you're coming from.
They're great for what they are. I'm not saying John, you know, he was a legend, you know, him and Paul McCartney wrote, you know, hit after hit, you know, like, or like Queen, for example. That's another, like, you know, a band's a legendary band when each member writes a hit, you know. I don't know if you've heard that saying, but
they're the only band to ever do it, I believe. Queen is the only
band
for each band member to write a number one song.
Yeah, and then for the Beatles, I think it was just Paul McCartney and John Lennon, I believe. And I think, Ringo, he wrote they wrote good songs, but I feel like they're a little overrated musicianship-wise. I don't feel like they were very good musicians. Yeah. They were good songwriters, yes.
Mm. No, I agree. I mean, and also the, yeah, I think so. And also the, you know, the recording, you know, was quite primitive, you know, and they were still just trying to kind of figure things out. And the Beatles kind of broke a lot of boundaries with regards to recording. But, you know, I still feel like there were better records being made. Yeah, but I mean, like, if you listen to, like, you know, Sgt. Pepper's, and you listen to, like Jimi Hendrix, you know, Axis Bold as Love or anything like that at the same time, I just feel like they were sonically so far ahead, like the stuff they were doing with Eddie Kramer and, you know, compared to what the Beatles were doing. But, you know, the Beatles are always held as, like, you know, the pioneers of, you know, new style of recording and sonically.
They were the Metallica,
you know, breaking down barriers.
The 60s, dude. They were like the heaviest shit back then, dude. They were like the Metallica.
The Beatles,
They were, like, I can just imagine, like, parents, like old grandparents saying, oh, I hate those rotten Beatles, you know, like, because they were like the heaviest shit back then. And obviously,
like,
compared to, like,
stuff,
Yeah. And I think what it was their choice in chord progressions, because they wrote a lot of dark sounding stuff. Like Eleanor Rigby, like that's a dark song. The lyrics are kind of dark a little bit, but the feeling that they chose, and I think Paul McCartney is a great singer. I think he outshines John Lennon vocal wise, especially.
I agree with that.
But John Lennon, what he provided worked. I'm not saying the Beatles are bad. I just, as a musician, I think there's so many better, like musicians out there who don't get as much recognition, but they wrote how many fucking songs do they have under their belt? Like hundreds, right?
Many.
I don't think there's any bands who have hundreds of songs like on under their name, unless maybe they do. I mean, I just know that the Beatles did.
Would you pick the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
The Beatles. I think the Rolling Stones are even more overrated. So,
okay.
And the Who. I'm gonna go further, and I think the Who is a little overrated.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I do.
And another thing.
Who...
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, wait, I'll tell you
who else I don't like.
And another thing.
I would.
Yeah. What would you pick?
I would actually pick the Stones.
Overall,
there
like,
is
above
some...
all like those three bands. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a little unfair because the Rolling Stones are still around. The Beatles only had like 6 years of recording, and what they were able to achieve in that time is pretty astounding. The Rolling Stones like kind of moved with the times, but like did it well. Like you don't like listen to like their like Miss You or Emotional Rescue or anything like that. Like the weird stuff that they did in the '80s and go, ugh, like that was cringy. Like they did it well. Yeah. Like, you know, they were able to kind of pull it off. And just stuff that they did, you know, I mean, iconic stuff like, you know, Satisfaction. And I mean, I love like Tumbling Dice and, you know, Under My Thumb, and you know they were getting so much.
Do you feel
much,
like they
you know...
live in the shadow of the Beatles? Do you ever think that?
Yes.
Because the Who and the Rolling Stones, I feel like they are the two bands who sort of lived under the shadow of the Beatles. Obviously, the Rolling Stones are bigger than the Who. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't even like think of the Who kind of in that same category. Really, I wouldn't put them up there. Beatles and Stones are kind of on their own. You know, on their own tier, but I
but
definitely
still
feel
big,
like the Stones were.
The Who is still big, though.
Yeah.
Like, wait.
Yeah.
But they're not legendary. But they, it's weird. Like, I know what you're trying. I know what you're saying. Like, they're worldwide known, but they're not legend. If that's what you're trying to say,
yeah,
right? And I think who took the cake were the Beatles and Pink Floyd. Going back to I never really got into Pink Floyd either. But for what they did,
cool.
The soundscapey sort of shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the Beatles and Pink Floyd kind of dominated. Because they still do to this day.
Right. Right. I would still put like Stones and Beatles kind of ahead of everybody else. And then I would kind of go to something maybe like Led Zeppelin after that. Because I feel like they were what they were kind of doing for their style of music was pretty.
They were like the next generation, like the '70s, right?
Yeah, well like late '60s. I think the first album was 68. So they were still kind of doing stuff around like kind of when the Beatles were starting to wrap up and also like Jimi Hendrix Experience, you know, for me was just, you know, sonically is especially in a recording sense and just his playing, and they were, I think those are the best sounding records from those times. Like while I do love Led Zeppelin, I feel like those, especially the first record doesn't sound great. It's just, I feel like the guitar tones are pretty thin and, you know, I feel like other people were doing it a lot better, but you know, that's
what
you
was
know,
that one
a never-ending
song,
story.
The guitar tone for this one Zeppelin song, it's a big one. Hey, mama, stand away from me. I'm like blanking out on names right now. You know that song,
Black,
right?
Black Dog. Yeah, Black Dog.
Black Dog, yeah, Black Dog.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the? Have you like? Do you like recall the guitar tone on that song by any chance?
Yeah,
it's like a weird, like synthy kind of sound. Have you noticed that? Or is it just my own ears are being retarded?
I think it might be doubled. I think that's probably what it sounds a bit strange, but and it's also
it's
kind of
that.
he plays it out of time.
Is that what it is?
As well. It's
I feel
like
the tone like the tone though. It's something with the tone. I can't explain it. I just know it when I hear it. It's like he had like added what would he add to that? It sounds obviously a guitar, but it sounds like it's like he tried making it sound like a synth. Like a keyboard sort of sound.
Oh, okay.
It's just my ears. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, he might have something on. He might have had like an effect. I know he did use a bit of stuff on like Cashmere, and you know, there's some modulation effects and stuff. But yeah,
But the Stones take the cake for you, right? That like of all the bands, the Stones take the cake for you.
Well, I mean, I think. If I had to choose between the Beatles and Stones, I'd choose the Stones. But I mean, the Peppers are my favorite.
Like of all bands, like Jack Brad, if he was on a desert island with a bunch of poisonous snakes and spiders and kangaroos and drop bears, which I heard about, which someone led me on to ask somebody about that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, I don't know if you know Odin, Clint's other guitarist. I'm buddies with him too. He made sure to tell me, hey, Mark, ask someone about the drop bears. They're really dangerous. I'm like, oh, okay. So I fucking fell for that shit.
I'm loving your Australian accent, by the way. It's on point.
Well, right. Is it actually because I have one of those brains where like I emulate like anyone I'm around. I think it's just like a survival thing, a survival mechanism in your brain. It Because if like in okay, like in the States, like if an Hispanic or a Middle Eastern comes over and talks to me, like they try and tone down their accent, their native tongue, to try and relate to me,
right?
Without even them realizing it. Have you ever noticed that for you? Like if like for me, for example, if I went out to Australia and talked to you, like you would be like, oh, like you'd notice me speak, like I start pronouncing my words like how you guys do it, and like because there's like a tonal quality to how you guys talk. Like Americans,
it's
we
laziness.
Have like a very monotone. Is that what it is? Wait,
yeah,
who, Americans or Australians?
No, Australians. Our accent's very vulgar in a way because we don't pronounce our words well. So it's yeah.
Well, no, I think Americans. Are... I think you guys are. I think you guys are more exaggerate. You guys exaggerate it more because, like, that's what I think. Because I think, but again, maybe it's because you're used to what you hear every day, and I'm used to what I'm here every day. But
yeah,
it's funny you say that because, like, people ask me, like, "Oh, you're from LA? You're not from here?" I'm like, "No, what? Oh, you sound like you're from here." I'm like, actually, no. People kept telling me I sound like I'm a Kiwi.
Oh,
and
okay,
I found out
yeah.
that meant people from New Zealand because
that's
New
right.
Zealand,
yeah.
I yeah.
The accent's similar.
I love the Australian accent.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's interesting, and it can get very you know, redneck very quickly. I guess you call it. We call them bogans, and that's
bogan.
You know when
yeah.
you yeah, it's bogans. Oh, you haven't heard the term bogans before?
bargains. I'm trying to get the O. I used to not be able to do the R like bargains. It you know because I at first I would just say bogans. That's how we say the O words here in America.
Oh, okay.
But you guys R. It's like you guys say you guys like round out the back of your throats when you say your O vowels, like R. It's like you're saying it from the back of your throat. I pay attention to fucking
yeah.
everything. I'm just weird like that. And
yeah, I don't know what we're doing,
it
but
up,
it doesn't sound good, I don't think.
No,
I think
it sounds
the American
cool. I mean, and
okay.
You think it's cooler? I don't think I have an accent. Like, I get, obviously, we have a difference in our speech, but, like, I remember being, like, surrounded by so many thick, like, and most, like, you Australian men, like, I don't know if it's just in your guys' your clan's DNA, but you guys have, like, thick, deeper voices than a lot of American men. And there are guys in America with deep voices, but it's like every Australian guy I met had a deep voice. Like to some degree,
yes, and I think it,
and
I think it's exaggerated when there's a bunch of them together as well.
Yeah, yeah. So imagine me, an American, like surrounded by all these like thick Australian deep accents, and then of course I'm like my brain's like a sponge, so I just take it all in. And but I will say like I probably shouldn't say this, but you know I think Australian accents on chicks are very very attractive to me. Like I mentioned, I met someone who worked at the hotel, saying that she came with me to the first night at the Butter Show, and I just thought, I don't know, I love it. I love the Australian accent. I think it's very,
yeah.
It's like you guys are always happy to see someone. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but you guys are always up for a good time. Like, oh, what's up, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, come here, Mike. Like in America, people aren't like that. You know, granted,
yeah.
I was there with the band, you know, and, you know, like the rock stars, I was with them. So maybe that's why everyone's nice. Oh, I'm not you there.
Hey, mate. Sorry about that.
It's all good. Yeah, that happens all the time, especially with, this app I use, either this app, which is called Ringer, or I use another one called Anchor, which both of us would have to have it. And I just learned that it's a little bit easier just to email people this link to Ringer, because then I don't have to explain to people. Like I even did with Boger, like Glenn, like I had them like download an app on their phone, and it's always like kind of a pain. So I just figured I'd try this one from now on.
Yeah, actually, I had to download the app to do this. So.
Oh. Really? They don't just
yeah.
email link or? Oh, okay.
No, it said I had to download the app, but that was fine. It was easy.
Cool. Well, I don't recall what we were talking about, but in closing though, because we've hit a lot of we hit a lot of serious subjects, like very vast subjects. We talked about coronavirus. Talked about conspiracy theories. Talked about aliens are really demons. We talked about music industry. If there were, you know, because you are a really good player and, you know, you're professional. So What would you tell some people who are trying to, I don't know, trying to make something of themselves in this, you know, pie in the sky, whatever pie is left of, you know, of the music industry? Like, yeah. What would you suggest to them?
I mean, just love what you do. I mean, if you don't love it, you know, do something else. It is extremely demanding. It will, you know, it will really take over your life. And, you know, you'll miss a lot of important things, you know, and, but at the end of the day, it's the most rewarding thing, you know, in my life. It's taken me all over the world. Every great thing that I have in my life has come as a result of being a musician and loving music as much as I do. So I would say, yeah, right. Just, you know, enjoy the process, because like there really isn't a destination. It's just all about, you know, the playing and the work and the art. And
there is no aha, like we said earlier.
There is no aha.
Yeah.
And that's the most brilliant thing. And, you know, but
it's a very
just
hard
plays.
Realization to come across. Wouldn't you think like it's very hard, like realization to accept? Or maybe not for you and I didn't think that way, but I could see for some people like them like coming to that realization, like, oh man, there is no like, I can breathe. Do you think that might just, I think that realization could discourage people from the music industry. But, you know, that separates the pros from the amateurs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think if you love anything enough, you won't stop, you know, doing that. You know, it's just, you right. know, that passion and drive will take you, you know, through any kind of obstacle or, you know, discouragement or anything like that, you know.
Right.
But yep. Yeah. I think that I don't know if I ever really thought that there would be, you know, I would finish it or anything like that, or if it's just something that I started to realize over time. But but now I'm so thankful that there isn't, you know, because I never want to know it all. I want there to always be something else. I would be so upset if there was nowhere for me to go, if there was nothing else for me to learn. That would be extremely, you know, disappointing, because it's my favorite thing. It's like, you know, if you watch a great movie, you don't want it to end, you know. And right. I think there are, even though you can just kind of repeat what you've done before, the excitement when you kind of find the next thing, or, you know, that's you know, an unbelievable feeling. You know, you write another song, right. you know, that didn't exist before, or yeah, you figure out something else, and you know, or hear a piece of music right. you didn't think was possible to exist. It's just it's so continuously rewarding.
Right. And I think and I might have just, on top of all the amazing qualities I, you know, you've discovered about me on my show, I think I just coined a new phrase. No, I'm kidding. I'm Mr. Sarcastic. I thought of something like, you know, like not knowing how could I put it? Like not knowing that you don't know everything gives you like purpose for life. Or it gives life purpose. Like not knowing everything gives life purpose. If that makes sense. Or does that Absolutely. Work? Is that phrase work? Does that like get to the point? I don't know. Cause that's like the main point of what we've been talking about, is because if you know everything, or like if there is an aha moment, then what's the point? You know, like, and that you can apply that to anything, not just music, but music, especially in this case, it seems like if there is an aha moment, what's the point of carrying on? Like you were saying, if you don't have to learn anything.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And like, I think that kind of like relating that back to music, you know, it's about, you know, listening and, you know, that's almost as important as the playing part, you know, of right. music, it's a 50-50, you know? So, I mean, right. having your mind open and, you know, to new experiences or, you know, new things, and, you know, always trying to, you know, learn new things is really, you know, the way to go, because right. there's so much rewarding stuff, you know, that you, yeah, I get that closed-minded mentality, you know, is a killer.
Right. No, for sure. And as far as any of the stuff that you're going on with Bogue or your solo stuff, are there no dates? I don't know. I forgot if I asked you earlier, but for people to, if they want to check out anything, can they just like, do they have to wait for any of the is there a release date for the Bogue solo album stuff? Or, because I know you're
no,
still
no, there's no release date yet. Okay. Because it's still in the okay. mixing stages. So it's taken, you know, kind of 8 years to get to this point. So it'll be a little bit longer, right. but you know, there's not, we're
Another
not kind of putting
years.
Any. Yeah.
Another 8 years?
Oh God, I hope it's not that long. But right. yeah, so but I mean, it'll be out sometime this year. I'm very hopeful for. And with my stuff, I already have a single called Spades, which is out on Spotify and all the streaming platforms. And I'm going to have a new single out on the 31st of July.
Okay, cool. You have to give me a link or whatever link that you'll get from that. I'll be sure to help share it.
Absolutely.
And,
Thank you.
Yeah. And well, listen, dude, I really appreciate you taking some time to come on and chat with me. I'm glad we met, and I think we're best friends now.
Oh, absolutely. The pleasure is mine, and I look forward to hearing. I really just hope that your gig with Snoop Dogg really comes to fruition, because that's just, too good an opportunity to not happen. I think it'll all come good for you.
It's a matter of, well, like I said earlier, it's not canceled, it's postponed. But the thing is, though, it's like Snoop Dogg. He's not going to be like, oh, okay, let me just reschedule my shit. It's like, no, he'll be like, no, fuck this then. You know what I mean? And so I'm hoping, but I am not expecting him to still pull through, if that makes sense. Because when you're Snoop Dogg, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. You don't have to do anything at all if you're Snoop Dogg. And but then again, would they really risk that? Because people paid money to see Snoop Dogg. Like, he's the main headline. We're like right before him. So we have a good spot too, but we're not the headliners of the festival. So that might piss a lot of people off if he doesn't show up and they don't get their refunds and they're there to see Snoop Dogg and he's not there. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
I know that, we're best friends, but I would be upset.
But would you be more upset because of Snoop Dogg or because you don't get to see me on stage? Are you just using me to get the Snoop Dogg? Is that what it is?
I can't comment on that at all.
You don't want to self-criminalize yourself?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to self-criminalize yourself. Well, listen, brother. I'll let you go. But thanks so much for calling, Bourne. I'll talk to you soon. All right, brother?
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Bye.